climbing out of the hole?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles. Morning, I'm Bill Radke. Central bankers and other economic heavy hitters are gathered in Jackson Hole, Wyoming this morning. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke kicked off the day's session with a much-anticipated speech. Marketplace's Amy Scott got herself a copy. She joins us live. Hi, Amy.
Good morning.
What did the Fed chair have to say?
Well, the theme of this speech was reflections on a year in crisis. When these folks gathered in Jackson Hole last year, of course, Lehman Brothers was just a few weeks away from collapse. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the speech looked back at the events of the year and the Fed's response. Bernanke defended the bailout of AIG and the decision not to rescue Lehman Brothers. There was also a little bit of self-congratulation. He praised policymakers around the world for responding with speed and force to avert a deeper crisis. Bernanke's term as Fed chair expires in January, so presumably some of this is about marketing himself.
And what did he say about where the economy is headed now?
He said more of what he's been saying lately, which is that the economy is leveling out, but that it remains weak. What he didn't say, which I know will disappoint some of the economists I've been talking to, is much about the Fed's exit strategy. That is, after all this money it's pumped into the system, how it plans to start taking that away to fight off future inflation.
Right. Now, this gathering, Amy, is at a resort in Jackson Hole at the foot of the Grand Tetons, and I've been there. It's mighty pretty. Are they getting stuff done there?
Well, there will apparently be some hiking, some trips into Yellowstone National Park, but I'm told they'll also be spending some time holed up in conference rooms, wrestling with ideas like how to walk the line between economic growth and inflation, and also how to regulate the system so this doesn't happen again.
Marketplace's Amy Scott, thank you.
Thank you.
Home resales have posted the largest monthly increase in at least 10 years. That reports out this hour from the National Association of Realtors. First-time buyers rushed in last month to take advantage of a tax credit that expires this fall. One place that is starting to see housing relief is Phoenix, Arizona, and they sure could use some relief. From KJZZ, Peter O'Dowd reports.
Median home prices in Phoenix have fallen by half over the past 27 months. It's been a historic crash, but Arizona State University's Carl Gunterman says it's possible the worst has passed.
The pattern seems to be fairly clear that this plunge in prices we've been seeing is easing somewhat.
Gunterman says Phoenix home prices hit bottom in April and then slowly climbed to a median price of $119,000 in July. Here's another encouraging sign. Recent home sales have reached a pace not seen since the real estate heyday of 2005. But economist Marshall Vest is still cautious about the future of Arizona's economy. In good times, he says 20% of employment in Arizona is related to construction, mortgage lending, and other growth industries.
I think we're going to continue to be subjected to the ups and downs of the building cycle. That's the way it's been for decades, and I think that's going to continue into the future.
Even if this housing rebound continues, Vest predicts Arizona's economy will contract through the end of the year. In Phoenix, I'm Peter O'Dowd for Marketplace.
Wall Street is buoyant this morning. The S&P 500 up 1.5%. The NASDAQ up 1.25%. And the Dow is up 1.33%. So that's a gain of 124 points now at 9,474. European markets are even higher, 2% and more. Asian markets were lower earlier today. The U.S. announced cash for clunkers is ending on Monday, and Japanese auto stocks fell.
American Public Media presents the Scratchpad blog. Host Scott Jagow keeps you updated on business news worth talking about. Available daily at marketplace.org.
Chinese authorities are investigating another case of child lead poisoning. This is near a plant that processes the metal manganese. 1,300 kids were found to have high levels of lead in their blood. And there was a similar case just earlier this month. People who live near Chinese industrial plants charge that local officials are just ignoring dangerous pollution. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us from Hunan Province. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
How was this latest poisoning case discovered?
Well, Bill, we talked to parents in the village where this plant is, And they say their children had these awful symptoms. Some of them had fevers of 105. The kids stopped eating. And then when they got them tested at the local hospitals, they found lead levels in their blood, in some cases that were triple the normal levels. And so the parents tell us that the doctor's version of the story is, you know, these children are going to grow up and have memory loss and learning disabilities. So there's a sense of hopelessness among the people we talk to.
How are the local residents there reacting?
Well, they're very critical of the boss of this manganese processing facility. What they tell us is he came in without the appropriate environmental permits, and then he set this place up and it started spewing black ash into the sky. And one observer said, you know, this is kind of the face of China's environmental movement. It affects them very, very directly, Bill.
Tell us about this product, this element, manganese. How does this fit into the global economy?
You know, Bill, manganese is a big part of steel, and China is the world's biggest maker of steel. So Americans interact with that when they get products shipped over from China in ships made of steel, and the containers are made of steel, and the products obviously have steel in them. So basically what the global economy has done is it's allowed developed countries like the U.S. outsource jobs, outsource factories to developing countries like China, and they also outsource the smokestacks and the environmental pollution. And a lot of people in China want it to end.
Marketplace's Scott Tong in Hunan Province. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
And speaking of health, good health is the most valuable thing of all, according to a new book by British researchers called You Are Really Rich, You Just Don't Know It Yet. They surveyed people who said that being told I love you is worth the equivalent of $270,000. So remember to remind your partner how you feel and then remind your partner how extravagant you just were. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. I have a question for you. Has this recession forced you to start over, not just tighten your belt, but, you know, launch a new career or move far away or totally change your approach to money? If you have a memorable story, I'd like to put you on the air. So go to marketplace.org and click on the trading floor where it has our question of the day. Has the recession forced you to start over? The Dow is up 130 points this morning. Thanks for tuning in and have a great Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.